Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I hold up this book at you, what do you see? Now, I don't expect you to be able to read what it says on the binding, but I hope that you have already guessed what book it is that I'm holding in my hands. This is the Holy Bible. When you heard that this was the Holy Bible, or you saw me holding it from the pulpit, what do you think of when you think of the Bible? Do you think, like many throughout history, those who have rejected the truth of Jesus Christ, that this is just some book that could be tossed to and fro, something that is significantly outdated, something that can be abandoned for whatever whim we might have? I pray that that's not what you think, because as a Christian, as a Lutheran, as a person who confesses this book, we believe that this is the Word of God. It does more than just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews, whether St. Paul or one of the people who followed him, writes of that word, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There was a time in America where this book was treated as sacred, where this book was actually used to teach writing and to teach reading. That the government-run schools, those public schools, the schools that are to belong to the people, would teach reading and writing using God's word. They would take parts of it to teach penmanship. They would use words of it for their readers. They viewed that a society that does not know God's word, that does not have God as its foundation, is a society that is lost to the world. That was 100 years ago. How is it today? Are our schools using God's word to teach children how to read and how to write? Are they using God's word to teach them what morality is? What it is to love and serve the neighbor? Even if you haven't been in a classroom in years, you know the answer to that question. No, this book, the one that is living and active, the most important book to a culture, to a people who love God, has been tossed out. We can't even utter this unless a child brings it up. That is now how bound the teachers are in these schools. We can mock it. We can say negative things about it. We can bring other religions into the classroom, but not this. A people that reject God's word, a people that reject what God has to say, when God says this is right and this is wrong, and we strive instead to figure out for ourselves what is right and wrong, are people that are totally lost. This is sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the law, but also the gospel. This is the book that shows us what sin is. This is the book that shows us what it is to love God and love the neighbor, what it is to serve him, to worship him, to keep his name holy and pure. It shows us how we are to honor and respect our parents and other authorities, that we are to value life because the Creator has knit each life together in the womb. Is that what's being taught? Are children taught that There's a creator that knit them in their own mother's womb, that they are beautiful, that they are wonderful, for they are fearfully and wonderfully created by that creator? Are they taught what it is to hold up life? Are they taught what it is to hold up marriage as an institution by God, given in the garden for protection, for procreation, for companionship? A lifelong union between a man and a woman as God has created? Are they taught that the marriage bed is to be kept pure and undefiled? Are they taught to keep that gift for the bonds of marriage? Are they taught how to control their urges? How to crucify the flesh? How to follow Jesus? Are they taught what it is to steal? Or are they taught that everybody's is also yours? Are they taught how to tell the truth? Well, Jesus Christ is the truth, and he can't be the foundation. So if we reject the very truth by which all things are made and created, we ask with Pilate, what is truth? Are we taught to be content? That is truly content. Not that we take drugs to even out our emotions, but that we find our hope and our joy, that we are worth more than the troubles of this life, that we should not take our own life into our hands because God has made us for his purpose. Depression has skyrocketed, drug use has skyrocketed, and we wonder why. Asked that question a few years ago, I responded very bluntly when asked by the schools about the drug use and abuse and things of that nature, the bullying and things like that. I said, here's what I would do. I would teach all of the children that they were created by a God who loves them. A God who loves them so much that he sent his only begotten son to suffer and die in their stead. That he has secured them, that he has grafted them into his family. Because that's the truth, isn't it? You believe that with every fiber of your being because you believe in God. That message was rejected. We can't teach that. And to that I responded very plainly, and that's the problem. Until we can get back to this as the very foundation, that which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that which is the law which condemns sin, the law which shows us our sin, the law which shows us how God our Father desires for us to live, and the other edge of that sword, which is the gospel, that which can kill can also bring life. We are broken people. And apart from Christ, we live in despair. And we find all sorts of things to try to fill that void. But none of it will truly work. God's word brings us hope. It shows us our sin and then raises us to new life. It points us to the cross of Jesus Christ and says, look how much your God loves you. You are not here by some random act of chance over billions of years. You are here grafted by God your Father for his purpose, to shine his light, to be his joy, to follow him. That's the truth. Jesus told his disciples the truth, and it befuddled them. Jesus tells them on more than one occasion that he has come for this purpose, that he has come to redeem the lost, and that they will kill him for it. But that death cannot control him. Jesus tells them very plainly, they will kill the Son of Man, he will be betrayed into the hands of men, but he will rise on the third day. These men struggled so hard to believe it that even though they knew that he had been killed, they had locked themselves up tight on that third day. Unlike those women who went out to care for his body, not truly aware of what was happening, those men had locked themselves away from the world. Jesus said, to follow me will be hard. It's not cupcakes and rainbows and unicorns. It is hard. It is a cross life. Pick up your cross and follow me. Lord, I don't want to follow you. I'd rather lock myself away where they can't touch me. But he comes right through those doors and he gives them his peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that the world cannot give. Jesus proclaimed that this would happen, and yet they struggled to believe. It has now happened. Almost 2,000 years ago, it is the truth. He is the foundation. He is the author. He is the finisher of this faith that we hold to. But too often, especially us as adults, let the cares and costs of the world get in the way of the truth. We become so anxious about everything. Lord, I want to be better and bigger than everybody else. Rather than saying, Lord, I put myself completely in your hands. Do with me as you will. Let thy will be done. And so as his 12, the men who spent all of that time with him, learning from him, as he told them what he had come to do, as they bicker back and forth who should be the greatest, and when he calls them out for it, they become silent and they're afraid to speak. Jesus takes a little child. And he takes that child in his arms and he says, be like this. Trust me like this. This doesn't mean that you should not grow in your faith. This doesn't mean that you should never go to a Bible study because you don't want to grow deeper in your faith. That's not what childlike faith is. What childlike faith is that infant who begins to cry. Cries because he knows that his mother will grab him, will nurture him, will hold him tightly, will nurse him, will change him. We are to have that faith because our mother, the church, does the same thing. As the bride of Christ, the robe that washes over you, the spiritual food that is nurturing to you, the body and blood of Jesus Christ are given. You are cared for. Trust him in that way. Be like the little child who knows that all of these things are cared for. Reach out to him and receive him. Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The church sings, God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way, in death it is our stay. Lord, grant while worlds endure, we keep its teachings pure throughout all generations. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.